Welcome to the Brave Plug Podcast, Season 2, Episode 2 with Pastor Miriam and Matapelo.
Welcome to the Brave Plug Podcast, Season 2. Season 1 was a good time and we had to do it again. So we are back by popular demand. And, you know, this podcast is a podcast where brave women share their stories. They become vulnerable with us. They inspire us to live our lives to the best and live a life of fulfilled with purpose. And, you know, help us navigate those day-to-days that we as women go through. So for today's topic, I'll let my co-host, Shanice, introduce it.
Thank you, Tumi. I mean, what a wonderful introduction, right? Like a podcast focused on strong women, empowering women. And I think today's topic is so appropriate. So we're going to cover female entrepreneurs and how they break ceilings. And joining us today is Pastor Miriam and Matapelo. And we're just going to dive right into it and get straight into it because I'm so excited for this topic.
Me too. I really want to hear
what you guys have to say. Yeah. So Pastor Miriam, maybe you can kick us off and maybe you can just define the landscape for female entrepreneurs and maybe just kind of give an overview of the current state of female entrepreneurs as you view it.
Awesome. Thank you so much. Well, according to the research done by Global Entrepreneurship Monitor report, the female entrepreneurship rate in South Africa has been estimated between 10 to 15% of the total entrepreneurship population. But it is also important to mention that these are formally registered entrepreneurs. There are also lots of entrepreneurs, especially females in townships, that are informal, that are unstructured, that are not registered, that are not accounted for. So this stats is only focusing on those that are formal and are registered. And different industries has been explored. The first one is retail and wholesale, where we find most entrepreneurs that are operating in that space, often driven by small businesses and informal trading. The second one is services. We've seen a lot of salons, sort of boutiques, which are owned by female entrepreneurs. In this industry, which is service orientated, we see an increasing number of females that are entrepreneurs. This also includes hospitality, it includes consulting and also health services. So this is the space where most female entrepreneurs are growing and they are actually exploring that the services sector. Another sector is manufacturing, even though there's not vast of them that are emerging in that sector, but we see female entrepreneurship growing, but it remains lower compared to retail and services. So most women are partaking in that, but this research, I must also mention that is solely based on registered and formally organized organizations. So the number could be more if you have to look at most businesses that are in townships that are not accounted for. So there's a vast increase. And also in agriculture, where most women, they do agriculture in their backyards, we find that growing a lot in rural areas where they are accounted for, but this is what they do for a living, where they grow crops and they sell them on the street in the corners where they are accounted for. But it is entrepreneurship and and these are women and they are a vast number, especially in rural areas. But we also see commercial farmers that are emerging in the urban areas and they are doing wonders. So women are actually striving to be counted, to be entrepreneurs, to be registered, despite the fact that there are also challenges that are encountered by the same woman. Some of the challenges that I might highlight is access to funding. Most women are still, they still struggle to secure finance, especially from the entrepreneurial ecosystem. And studies indicate that women receive less venture capital funding as compared to their male counterparts, because most women are just emerging and there's no history. Mm. You know, some don't even have a good credit records mm. that they can access funding. So we find that most women are still challenged mm. and are unable to access funding. Another opportunity that they might be not be privileged to access is networking opportunities. Most of them, they lack information. They have limited access to these networking sessions. And especially those that are not registered, those that battle with connectivity and they don't have platforms to get the information. So most of them also lack access to networking or to information. And some are deprived of opportunities because of lack of education and skills. Mm-hmm. So they might be entrepreneurs, they might be operating at a small scale, but they're not equipped enough to mm-hmm. venture and to grow their businesses. So we still find a lot of females that are sidelined in terms of business entrepreneurship.
Sure. I think those statistics are like so interesting because mm-hmm. just hearing you speak about it and give us those figures, I mm-hmm. had no idea that like the percentages were so low because yeah. you hear about entrepreneurs, mm-hmm. right? Female entrepreneurs, but you don't actually get to hear like how many people they are in different sectors. Yeah. And mm-hmm. I'm just going to shift it real quick to Matapelo because I had like the honor and the privilege to interview you in Women's Month. And I was so touched by your story. So can yeah. you yeah. please share with everybody listening your journey and what it took to get you to where you are today?
Okay, thank you for the opportunity. My personal journey is marked by profound struggle and resilience. Life was a constant fight as I was growing up. At age 5, I was adopted by a lady who owned a tuck shop who was staying 3 houses away from my house. Through this experience, I did not only find shelter, but I also gained a mentor. Mm-hmm. Who taught me valuable lessons about business and entrepreneurship. This support became a turning point into my life, mm-hmm. transforming me into a girl who once felt abandoned, mm-hmm. who felt lost, who felt life has turned its back on her. Mm-hmm. As a young girl, I didn't deserve such growing up, but thank God this lady found me. I was a determined individual who would go and embrace my entrepreneurial spirit. Mm. From selling clothes to selling food, I would sell anything. Just after my matric, I did not work anyway. I've always been self-employed, but I realized that I'm hopping a lot as a young lady in SA. Mm. I was hopping a lot. I didn't have any structure. My pivotal moment was when I noticed the boy who was going to school without school shoes. And then sure. I realized that he needs school shoes. I bought him a pair of shoes. Mm-hmm. As I did that, I noticed that there's a broader need for my act. Mm-hmm. And then I didn't just sit. I went on social network after buying the shoes for the boy to ask for more shoes for other kids. And then in a space of 2 weeks, I collected close to 150 brand new school shoes.
Sure.
People heard my plea. Mm-hmm. So I realized that it's not only about me. Mm. The skills that I have, I can grow and do something with my life. Thank you. Uh-huh.
That's so beautiful. Just, you know, Pastor Miriam highlighted how difficult it is to get funding as women. So when you went out there and you just asked people on social media if they can give in into those calls of buying children's shoes, like, what was your thought process? What do you think worked? And like, did you write a story that captivated people's emotional side?
Okay, so during my hopping moment, mm-hmm. I even had a Chisanyama which had to close down. Okay. In 2024, mm-hmm. that's when I got an opportunity to study at Gibbs,
okay.
at JP Morgan, under a program which was called Victory's Hairs. Mm-hmm. So that program exposed me to so much. And I thank God that I I took the plunge to attend the course because I had faith that moved mountains. That was the year when I said, you know what, I don't want to hop a lot. I need structure. That course, we learned so much about women who are in business. We learned about having a structure in your business, utilizing the social network platforms, because many young ladies are sitting in our location. There's saying there's no opportunities. But one thing that led me to take the opportunity is that I realized that life doesn't owe me anything. I need to go out and get opportunities for myself. Hence, I got the opportunity. I was even the only one from East Rand traveling to Soweto. So I was exposed to so much. Mentors, we're privileged to have clinical psychologist mentors, people who would tell me that I possess more. So as I saw that boy, something said, I was equipped at Gibbs. But as I was doing it, I wasn't thinking about school. It was an act of being aware of our surroundings, you know. So I took that opportunity and I helped out. So that birthed my foundation, which is Tapis Foundation.
Oh, lovely.
Yes. Oh, that's amazing.
Thank you.
So you touched on how you had to go out and look for the opportunity, right? And I think so much of this entrepreneurial journey can be easier if we are in the right circles and if we network in a certain way. So based on the experience that the both of you have, can you maybe just highlight the importance of female mentorship and collaboration in this journey? And then if either of you know maybe some organizations and platforms that you can just share with the community to kind of give a stepping stone to somebody that might be listening.
There's a scripture that I like, an iron sharpened an iron, you know, and I think it lays more on mentorship and collaboration. But as a woman, you really need mentors that are going to assist you to navigate this new sector that you're coming in. You can't do it on your own. There are platforms that you might not be opportune to and that you might not know. But if you have a mentor that will handhold you, a mentor is somebody that has walked the journey before, somebody that has accumulated so much, somebody who knows organizations and can open doors for you. So it's important that you don't walk this journey alone, because entrepreneurship is very lonely. Especially when you are in your own cycle and you don't collaborate, you don't reach out, you don't attend other platforms. You can feel so isolated and feel that there's no help. Help is there. There are business government initiatives that are established a lot in banks. Most banks, South African banks, have funding mechanism to assist SMMEs. So if you don't know these things, you might feel isolated and alone. So it's important that you attend these network sessions, because there are many organizations and associations that you can Google and find out that you can actually attend and find help. And also collaborating, it's important. You can't build an empire all by yourself.
Yes.
You need business partners. I mean, with my business, when I started, building housing units in Vosloorus, at some point I ran out of my funds. I had to go out like a widow of Zarephath, when the prophet said, go out and borrow. It's important as an entrepreneur that when you don't have money, you actually go out and borrow. We have institutions that are set up for us to go and access funding. So you can actually do that. Wow. You know, so when I ran out of the money that I got from Standard Bank, I actually went to a friend and I asked her that I need so much money to finish my building. And she was there to collaborate and assist. So I think most women are still scared to go out and collaborate because people think that other people are going to steal your ideas.
Yeah.
And one thing for sure is that your idea is your idea. Nobody can steal that from you. It's like you're pregnant and you have a baby. It's your baby. You know, if you have a business idea, it is your idea. You can be scared to go out there and seek assistance or collaborate with other women. And I've realized that women are out there to help each other. So it's very important. And there are so many platforms where you can seek help. I mean, for educational resources, there are so many business schools that offer free education. For instance, the program that Matapelo spoke about, it's free, it's accessible. It's just that people ask, you know, are lazy to access information or to seek information. Mm-hmm. And when you're an entrepreneur and you want to venture, you actually need to go out, connect to a laptop and find resources, because resources are available out there, you know. And there are also a lot of government initiatives that give funding to entrepreneurs. You have your CIFA, you have your NYDA, you have lots and lots. So information is out there. People just need to seek and be inquisitive enough to search for information. But information is there, initiatives are there, platforms are there. You just need to stand up wherever you are and start somewhere. Start with what you have. You know, you can't just wait to secure enough money to start a business. You have to start with what you have. It's the same principle that the prophet said to the widow of Zarephath. What do you have in your house? There's something that you can do at home and you can start there. You can start by baking fat cakes, go to a corner and start selling there before you can actually secure a spaza shop. Start somewhere. There's something that you can do. There's something that you are equipped with, because each and every one of us are given different skills and capabilities. So there's something unique in you that you can do that would ensure that you actually have enough money to sustain you and your family.
Sure. You know, with business, right, I think it requires you to have one vision for where you're trying to take your business to. And I like the fact that you say, start with what you have. So then nobody has an excuse to say, I can't start now because I'm waiting for funding, or I'm waiting to enroll at a school, right? So I think what I wanted to ask you is, on this thing of collaboration, like you mentioned, is it a thing of people struggle to find people that they can collaborate with? Or maybe people don't know that what to look for in a potential collaborator? Because I think in many times in business, people are scared to give a part of their equity to another person because they think that they might lose the controlling rights or controlling interest of that particular business. So what do you think is the common trend with especially women? Is it an educational issue that they struggle to secure this funding, they're struggling to find these collaborators?
I think knowledge is power. If you lack knowledge, you might lack opportunities. And also, if you have a bankable business plan, if you have a bankable business plan and you have actually populated that business plan, it's easy to convince somebody to invest in it, because investors are out there looking also for opportunities to invest. So if you can convince me that this business would be profitable, then you would find that people are actually willing to invest in you. You also, you don't have to look far, or you don't have to start outside. Within your community, there are people that can actually believe in your dream and invest in it. You have family, you have friends, you have your community. Even here at church, you have a church community. If you sell a bankable business plan or business idea to somebody and you have proof that this business is going to be viable and profitable and sustainable, and also that you are equipped to run this business, or maybe even show that you have knowledgeable people or equipped people that can run this organization, chances are people are going to invest in you. It's just that sometimes people, especially when they're not knowledgeable, you think that, like I said earlier on, most people don't venture out or seek help because they think that people are going to steal their ideas. And they sit with that ideas forever and they don't start anything because you are scared that if I tell you about my business idea, you might steal it. The question is, how can one steal your idea if they're busy chasing their own visions as well.
Yeah. Of course. And whatever is meant for you from God will never miss you.
That's
right?
It. Yes. Yeah.
So, you know, in Siloam, we're all about celebration and accomplishments. And I know Pastor Miriam walked the stage on Sunday with her graduation gown. And Matsapelo, you also received a community award.
Yeah.
So I think in closing, like, let's just encourage our listeners. And can the two of you maybe just share some of your accomplishments and some of the significant milestones that you two have reached, just so we can encourage somebody today. So Matsapelo, do you want to? I see Pastor Miriam looking at you. She's punting at you.
I want her to shine.
You want her to shine.
So JP Morgan program was the best program in my life. It changed my perspective in life. It showed me that it's not about where you're coming from, but it's about where you're going.
Yes.
So as the Bible says, is there anything too hard for the Lord? There's nothing hard. God has been by my side and he's still doing amazing things in my life. So it was a one-year program, intense program. For the longest time, I thought, it's me and my hustling and my matric, that's it.
Yes.
But that program, it was a school. So I learned and I graduated first. And then this year again, I said to myself, you know what, I'm challenging myself again to do another course. So I did a Christian counseling course in November. I'm also graduating.
Oh, wow.
And then I received an award in August for Women's Day as a community change maker. And then again, I'm also nominated for another award. In Sandton in November.
Sure. That is amazing. Yeah. I think that is so inspiring to me. Are you inspired?
I'm so inspired. And you know what? Just before we move to Pastor Miriam, Pastor Miriam, for your question, could we just add one more thing, right? Just the importance of giving as an entrepreneur. Because, you know, we hear that you must give. And sometimes we just give out of our own personal capacity. But how important is giving as an entrepreneur for a successful business?
You know, I always say, I was thinking as I was studying for my master's, I had to do lots and lots of research. I found out that most entrepreneurs are actually givers. Okay. And I want to believe that they actually took the concept from the Bible, that give and it shall be given back to you, pressed down, shaken together. Mm. Hence, most businesses, corporate, small business, big business, large enterprises, they actually have what they call the social investment or component, where that's they give right. back to the society. Mm. I think that's a concept from the Bible where you have to give back the 10%. Mm. It's very important because blessed is the hand that gives. The more you give, the more you advertise and market yourself. Because most of the time when you give, obviously you brand your products so that you give to the community, and then your brand will be there in future when they want to buy. Mm. Where else could they go but to somebody who has given into their community? And that's the reason you see most organizations are giving back to their communities, are giving back to anyone who's willing. They're educating people, you know, and they're paying back because it is important to give. And I think that's a concept that everybody and every business has learned from the Bible, that you give and it shall be given back to you.
Wow.
No. So it's important.
And on that note, I think we can end on a high. Pastor Miriam, Matsapelo, thank you both so much for your wisdom and for just being so resilient and taking up space and showing us that we too should take up space. So thank you so much. And we hope to see you guys again soon.
Thank you so much. Thank you for this opportunity. Thank you. Bye-bye.